All right, and welcome to another Sheep Fan podcast. And remember, if you want to contact us, it's info@sheepfan.co.uk. We've got a lovely bearded secretary with a vest on, our Chris, answering all the emails. And he's with me as usual. He has to be, doesn't he? Sometimes he could give me a night off, but he's here. Are you drinking a bottle of red, Chris? Have you got a bottle of red?
I've got one primed. I haven't owned it yet.
All right. Yeah.
But it's been a long day.
It's been a long day. And tonight we have a returning guest who's been on five times now. Can you believe it? Five times.
He's a walking. You've been on five times?
Yeah, a walking encyclopedia. In fact, he's a walking, talking library of information. He's also a fellow Yorkshireman, and he's from Huddersfield. I mean, how many more ticks do you want in your box there? And he also, and his latest book, we covered in a previous show, in July. We've got John Aymer back with us. All right, John.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Hi, everyone.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
Good to see you and hear that Yorkshire accent. It gets pretty lonely up here sometimes. We're interviewing a lot of Southerners like Mark Devlin, if you're listening, Mark. A lot of Shandy Swillers. I won't mind, but I don't drink, so I'm a Shandy Swiller as well. But anyway, there you go. Yeah. I just thought I'd join in with the Yorkshire Shandy Swiller name calling. So where can people get your books, John? We'll start with that one, because Chris always bollocks me, because I'd never mention that when we're starting.
Yeah, well, obviously, sadly, the main place is Amazon, wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in the world.
I like that smile they've got under the logo, don't you, Amazon?
Brilliant, yeah.
Oh, that Saturnian ring.
So, yeah, if you go there and just type my name in the search engine, it'll take you to my books. Yeah. There are a couple of other John Hamer authors, believe it or not, but right. They don't write the same kind of stuff as I write, so don't be fooled.
There's also MC Hamer.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Oh, yeah, dear. Very good. Yeah, yeah, never even heard that one, have you? Oh, dear. Shite jokes to start off. Yeah. If anybody wants to contact you, can they order books from you? Or
yeah, definitely. My email address. By all means, drop me an email. I don't know whether will you leave an email.
Yeah, I'll put all the links in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. By all means, if you want to and you want to sign copy of my book, I'll actually charge you less than Amazon will, and you'll get assigned a copy too. So. Right. What could be better?
Could be on Antiques Roadshow in a few years. I don't think they'll have them on Antiques Roadshow, will they?
No.
A collection of all your books. You're a conspiracy nutter. Get off the set. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned that you're doing a talk somewhere, John.
Yeah, and it's not just a talk. It's a series of talks. It's actually a twice-yearly conference called Questioning History. And it's the weekend before Christmas. It's the 16th to the 18th of December. And it's in a place called Battle in East Sussex, which, as the name would suggest, it's near Hastings on the south coast. So there's myself, there's Mark Devlin, which most people are aware of Mark, a lady called Sandy Adams. There's a guy called Sam Osmanagic, he's speaking, Catherine Armitage, and a guy called Ray Savage. I've got three talks over the weekend. I'm talking about evolution, the deception around evolution. And I've got another talk called Jack the Ripper and the Princess Diana Connection, which is a very, very interesting talk.
I bet it is, yeah.
And another one called The Descent into the Abyss of Extreme Consumerism, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's all about how consumerism seems to have taken over the world and why and you know, what the background to all that is.
How long do your talks go on for, John? Say the
it Ripper, varies, Diana. But... the evolution one's probably about an hour and a quarter. The Jack the Ripper one, about an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half. And the other one, the consumerism one, is probably 45 minutes.
Would you fancy
doing
another?
They're all like bite-sized chunks. They're not, they don't drone on all day or anything like that.
Would you fancy doing one of those in an hour and a quarter type of thing on a Sheep Farm live show?
Yeah, I could do it, yeah.
Is it on like a PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah.
Oh, it could easily presentation. PowerPoint presentation. You can't have more Yorkshire than that, can you?
PowerPoint presentation.
Could we bag John for the Jack the Ripper and Lady Di one?
That's what I want. That's what I want to think. We'll do a live show on Jack the Ripper, Lady Di.
Yeah, maybe in the new year sometime. Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be a good live one, that one.
And Mark Devlin's
excited already
about the history of MK Ultra.
Right.
And the lines to entertainment and celebs. And he's also talking about Tavistock Institute and social engineering as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So there's lots of really interesting talks. One of them's talking about Agenda 21, 2030 and the Great Reset. Somebody's talking about the history of the police and the removal of the constable. So I guess that's all to do with, you know, free man stuff. Somebody's talking about world leaders. I guess they're going to be talking about, you know, young leaders, you know, the
global leaders,
Schwab bollocks. And somebody's talking about the healing energy of the pyramids and all this kind of stuff. So it's a really varied selection of stuff, you know.
Yeah, it needs to be done, doesn't it, as well?
And it's like I say, it's in a really great, fantastic old building. It's a residential course, 2 nights, or some people are staying 3. And it's, you know, it's a great weekend. I mean, you know, everybody's all like-minded, obviously. It's a great chance to come and meet people of a like mind and hear all sorts of great information, swap ideas, make new friends. It's just fantastic.
But it's good to get together with people. We went to the Rise Above retreat. Well, we went for one day. We saw Mark there, actually. And it was nice to meet people where you don't have to explain yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly it, yeah. I've made loads of new friends, you know, and acquaintances by doing it. And if anybody's interested in it, by all means, drop me an email. You're going to provide me email address anyway, aren't you?
So. Yeah, yeah. Probably can. And also, I'll try to dig out if you forward me on the link to the actual event, I'll put that in the notes as well.
I will do that.
Yeah. We're going to try and get this on YouTube for the first hour, so we'll call Divock the nonsense, and we'll come up with some code words, and the gibbery jabs will stick with arm spears and jib jabs and stuff like that. So we'll try and get it on there. If we slip, it won't go on YouTube. I can't be bothered messing around with them freaks. It's hard work, isn't it, sometimes.
I mean, I just don't bother with it at all, mate. I mean, I have a BitChute channel as well, which you know, is if anybody wants to catch up with my work on there, and that's called the John Hamer Official, 3 separate words on BitChute. It's not been updated for a few weeks, but there is quite a bit of stuff on there. And also, I have a website, falsificationofhistory.co.uk. So, yeah, that's enough of the plugs now. Crack on.
Well, to be fair, you know, we get, again, sometimes, I was going to put a video on of me having an ozone therapy. Like, you came to the clinic and had an ozone therapy. And I was going to put a 10-pass treatment on it. I videoed it all. It's on the Health Bunker site. And I put it on the sheep farm one, not the main one, on the second sheep farm on YouTube. Somebody smart, Alec, put a comment, just selling stuff now, are you? Blah. And I'm thinking, no, well, I won't sell anything. I'm just showing, people ask me, what is the treatment? I don't care if you come here or go somewhere else. But when people ask you, I thought, I'll put the video up so they know what the treatment is. Not you, to come to Halifax.
You bastard, though.
Oh, no, just evil. I mean, earning a living, damn, you know.
Some people just can't help themselves, can they? They just love to diss anybody and anything, you know, any opportunity.
Yeah, you know? It's sad, isn't it, really?
And I just think it makes them feel superior in some way. That's the only thing I can think.
You're better off just not saying anything, aren't you? I personally wouldn't say anything.
No, I wouldn't either. If I didn't like something, I even wouldn't watch it. I just wouldn't comment. That's it.
Just walk away, don't
you? Because it's impossible to like everything anybody says, writes, whatever it does in life. As long as you're not harming people, that's the main thing. As long as you're not your foot on somebody's throat.
Just thinking of that fact, just to kick off, I did a drawing, John, of Piers Morgan.
And I got Moron, thinking about Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan. So I've been doing drawings on our, you know, for as the thing is, I did one of Piers Morgan, and he's. Right. I did a few quotes around him of what he said. I actually Googled some of his quotes, what he said during the nonsense.
Works very well, those quotes around him.
And I was just thinking about it today, and one of them is like, anyone who hasn't been jibby jab should be thrown in the cave, etc. They shouldn't be included in society, all this lot. They shouldn't be allowed NHS treat, all this kind of stuff. And I was just thinking, what world are we in when he can just go on national TV in the daytime and write off 20% of the nation, if you like, or whatever, and rant like that? But then a guy with a pair of tits can play piano with his knob on TV. And if you say anything about it, you're some kind of monster. Do you know what I mean? And I was just thinking, like, what the hell, where the hell are we?
Everything is agenda driven nowadays. Everything. If you say anything or do anything that promotes this prevailing agenda, this narrative that's going on in the background, well, not so much in the background, quite overtly now, all the
Very
time,
overtly.
Then you're fine. Yeah. But if you say anything, and I mean anything, against it, you're demonized, you're cancelled, you're
monster.
Banished. Yeah, or you're.
So I was thinking as well today, like from the last time we spoke, it's ramped up even more in a way, isn't it? Even though the Divock's gone, they've just ramped every. Yeah, do you smell fear in that desperation?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. Yeah, I think that they're pulling the agenda forward all the time now. Yeah, because they know that people are waking up.
Well, yeah. they've had to add more trauma segments to the ingredients. Now it's not just about the 2020 nonsense. It's about Russia. It's about whatever food. It's about droughts. It's this, that, and other
environment. Yeah,
environment. They've got to add all these things in.
The fear porn is stepping up massively. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, fine. I'll just get that leaflet that I spoke to you about the other day. Was it?
All right. If you think back to 2020, and you think pre-March 2020, before they pressed the button. To what this is now. And I know you will have been, we certainly were talking about what was going to happen, i.e. we knew that the jabs were going to come in. We knew, as soon as it happened, we knew this was going to be about some kind of rollout of a jab. Yeah, and we were telling people.
That's what it was all about, wasn't it? It was not about any kind of, use the word, but I mean? Begins with V.
Yeah, the jib jabs.
Not the jibby jab, the other V word, the five letter V.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't about that at all, ever. No. It was about the jibby jabs and getting them out to as many people as possible. Mm. The incentives that they were putting out there for people to take them, and the propaganda behind it and the psychology and the absolute, peer pressure that was going on just had to be seen to be believed. Yeah, and there was only one reason for that is, well, we'll probably cover it later. But
yeah, we probably will, yeah.
But it's the reason being, of course, that they wanted everybody jabbed. And why did they want everybody jabbed? We know why they want everybody jabbed. Yeah. And it's
a mass eugenics program to thin out people. Yeah.
It's probably been on YouTube. I'm not quite sure what words I can use and what I can't.
Yeah, well, if we slip, it goes on our it goes on our channel on his website. So don't worry about it. Let's not beat around the bush. We don't have to, if it can't work on YouTube, then we just won't do it on YouTube. It's not an issue. Yeah. Just some people don't come to websites. They can be a bit lazy and just stick with YouTube. Sometimes it's good to get a message out there onto YouTube as well. But anyway, thinking back to 2020 when everything got just turned off. Can you imagine the power that they've got or thought they had just to switch everything off? For the first time in history, they stopped people buying things, not just doing things, but so business was turned off. Their businesses, they didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been in care industry, as you know, and I always thought it was the safest industry to be in because I thought it was untouchable. Mm-hmm. And they literally closed that down.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can touch that, I mean, I'm still working in obviously restaurants now, but I don't think they've recovered since, to be honest with you. And I'm in Cambridge, which is a pretty well off town center, if you like. And I went into town the other day and I saw how many shops were shut down and boarded up, still loads boarded up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the objectives, isn't it? It's Agenda 21, 2030,
whatever it is now.
One of the objectives is to destroy society as we know it and rebuild it. That's rebuild, reset. So that's what they're doing, and they're doing it in every way imaginable. They're leaving nothing to chance. It's all being coordinated, all being planned, and they're doing it drip, 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 step by step, baby step by baby step.
I wanted to show you guys this. I got this, my missus picked it up off someone in town or somewhere around Cambridge. And it's called you can't see if you're listening to this, but it's called the Cambridge Climate Map, your guide to local climate action, Cambridge Climate Change Charter. So that she got that the other day. And it opens up, obviously, on a nice massive piece of paper because it's eco-friendly. So obviously recycled. But look at this. Choose your actions. So it's got like tick boxes, right, saying what you can do to stop the climate changing. And it's got like different subheadings, home energy, food, travel and stuff.
Private jets.
Home energy, insulate your loft, your walls, your windows, monitor energy use.
Yeah, I've got a simpler solution than all that shit. The best way to stop climate change is to switch your telly off, to switch your radio, read newspapers, and don't go on mainstream news sites.
Yeah.
Don't pick, you won't even know it's
don't,
there.
Don't pick shit up like this. Look, to be fair, maybe she's picked it up just to give it to me.
Does it say any of that stuff in the leaflet, by the way? No.
Funnily enough, I'll gamble it doesn't.
Just a big stamp on it saying, turn off your frigging telly.
Yeah. Global climate warming change.
Tells you you should shower less as well.
And how?
You should be vegan 4 times a week.
Yeah. we were doing a presentation on Rise Above about Al Gore, and when we were on there, we were talking about COP27, and Lance was saying that they'd released what the menus were at COP27, and Chateaubriand, sea bass, chicken, all these meals that they're telling us to eat. Cockroach milk.
Well, funny you mention that because I was at a conference in July, that really hot weekend, that hottest weekend of all in July in Nottinghamshire.
It was a tinderbox.
Mark Devlin was there, a few others. It was a great few days, but the food in the hotel, my God, it was all vegetarian or fish. There was no meat.
Right.
I mean, how outrageous. I mean, I can't eat fish. I don't like it at all. I'm not particularly like vegetarian food either. So I was like, stuff. I went into the kitchen and demanded some chicken. And they gave it me. I said, you're trying to starve me to death here or what?
Did you actually go to the kitchen, John?
Didn't actually go in. I stood at the door.
Yeah, yeah. With a plate.
Yeah.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it just shows you how everybody's been brainwashed into this, isn't it? You know, it's agenda after agenda after agenda, all the different, facets of it. You know, there's vegetarian stuff. You know, they're telling us that, because raising meat is bad for the environment. And it's just all propaganda designed to keep us in our places, isn't it?
To get to a point and also to stress the F out of everybody, I think. Mm.
Yeah. Well, especially people, say, of our age, a bit younger, who've eaten meat all their lives, where the crossover part, where the part where the younger ones, 3-4 year old now, say, they won't know any different than this nonsense. That's the sad part about it all, unless we educate them. Mm. And as we've seen in the Netherlands, where they're closing, I think they're on about closing 3,000 farms down, and they'll just stop subsidising people. Because the farmers, stupidly, as we know, Chris, we're all getting the subsidies from...
It's been going on for years, hasn't it? It's been going on for years.
Just dripping them. Yeah. Monsanto was selling seeds and fertilizer to other countries.
Well, that's why there's so many farm shops now, because it's not profitable to do anything else.
No.
Mm-hmm. So they open a farm shop, don't they?
And a cafe. And
farmers are being incentivized to not grow food anymore, to not raise animals anymore. Just crazy.
Well, I look out my window, and I keep saying this, there's just hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of green grass. There's a few sheep in some, a few cows in others. There's nothing being grown in them. And, even if they were growing root vegetables, carrots.
Apples. I just think, why not just plant loads of apple trees?
Yeah, but what we're talking about is something reasonable, Chris. to the planet, isn't reasonable to grow things that naturally grow. Planting trees?
No, because around here, even in that thing, it's saying, grow wildflowers and all this. Why not plant a load of fucking apple trees in that field around back there where there's nothing? That's planting a tree, and you can eat because
it makes sense, but they're not going to do that. I prefer to give you an apple that's a year old, that's been soaked in chlorinated water and then frozen for a year, brought Britain from New Zealand, and then sold as a fresh apple.
Britain used to be famous for its apples, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Still are, chlorinated ones.
But all this business about planting trees, I mean, it's so bloody contradictory to the message that's sent out. They're talking about using biomass as fuel. Well, what is biomass? It's wood. Hello? It's wood. So we're destroying the planet's forests for this bloody biomass shit.
Yeah.
And then, they came, we must plant more trees, I mean, the whole message is just totally contradictory.
Well, I mean, the lie is
We could go on for hours about climate.
And also, the same knobheads that are telling you what to do are the ones who go and buy fresh Christmas trees a bit.
Yeah.
I never understood that. I mean, I'm not an eco guy, but I don't really see the point in cutting down a tree just to stick in my house for a week or two.
For it to stick through the bottom of your soles of your feet.
I'm going to try and get rid of the frigging thing.
Yeah. Or the spray with that stuff, that chemical that stops the needles falling out. Yeah, it's really good for you, is that?
So you've got that in your living room.
There in your house, yeah.
But one thing about this 2020 thing, one of the main protagonists, Wancock, now has been paraded like this hero. And I don't watch TV, so just emails that I get. Chris has sent me some stuff, and we did a bit of a show on it, but he's been paraded on this I'm a knobhead, get me out of here show. Ironically, eating Klaus Schwab's perfect lunch, cockroaches, etc. And so now we know why that has been thrown into the psyche of British public and sold around the world for 20 years, eating this Bush Tucker trial bollocks of spiders and stuff like that. Go on, sorry.
So I was just going to say, I don't watch TV, I don't watch the programme, I have no idea what's going on. I've just heard snippets here and there. Because I do have one concession to mainstream news, so I can keep up with what the enemy's doing. So I've seen this bandied about, but I have absolutely no idea what's going on there. I mean, I've no idea. Yeah.
You don't need to know that
that program is totally and utterly fake. That jungle is not real. It's in an industrial, it's in a warehouse in an industrial estate in the middle of Sydney.
Yeah,
is it real?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, so they don't really drop out of an helicopter,
eh?
They don't really parachute out of an helicopter.
Oh, I don't know about that. All I know is that the bits where the
next thing, John, you'll be telling us moon landings aren't real.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. As if I'd say that.
Maybe they parachute down and just land on that that retail unit roof and then climb through roof.
Yeah, I'd say it's a green screen, jumping out of that helicopter probably. But anyway.
Well, when you think about it, they couldn't possibly be in the jungle, could they? I mean, can you imagine the insurance costs? I mean, the Australian jungle is noted. It's got more poisonous creatures there than any other. I mean, can you imagine these wealthy celebs being attacked by a poisonous spider?
No, I'd watch that. I'd watch that.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it never happened because
what they mean
before the insurance. Couldn't
they mean double bicep pose, Matt Wancock, Butch, Matt Wancock? He won't be scared of all him. such a nice guy, Chris. Yeah. And we're having a conversation. Hearing a conversation in the kitchen where he works.
Go on, Chris. I've heard it more than once now, Fatty, where someone says, ready to hate him kind of thing, but he's all right, isn't he? It seems like a nice geezer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you wouldn't be saying that if your grandma were in a bloody home and you couldn't
see
him.
How do you know they weren't?
Might have been.
I don't know they weren't, one of the protagonists is now, it's like some kind of satanic ritual where everyone knows is a twat, yeah? And they've paraded him in front of the television, and now everyone likes him.
Well, it was a game all along, wasn't it? That was a game all along, and they achieved it. They achieved
mission accomplished. Yeah, well done, Wancock. Cretin. But I often do think back to 2020 and that from the spring to summer moments in there where out here you could see people going for walks, probably for. There were like rows of people. It was like being let out of prison and said, right, you've got your hour. And they were going walking on here because we live in the sort of countryside, and then going back home again, making sure, looking at the watches, then banging pots and pans on whatever time it were on a Tuesday. I mean, how brainwashed must the population be to get to that level, John?
I was thinking about this today, and the way they got it to happen in the beginning, the first bit, it was almost, I suppose, I mean, I carried on working anyway, but they furloughed people, so they got cash to work, basically. And people found it a little bit exciting, I think. So it was a little bit, do you know what I mean? And then once you were in, that were it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then it could be repeated, couldn't it?
But we knew we were going to have to pay the piper. Again, we knew about jabs. We knew that injection of money from Rishi Sunak, well, not from the Bank of England Limited, that we're going to have to pay the piper. So banging your frying pans and stuff like that. Now, we're all having to pay the piper. So what I was thinking of doing, John, in the first hour was doing it the opposite way around, probably, to what I sent you, and doing a bit about your book in the first hour. It makes more sense doing it that way around. And there's a few bits in there that we probably didn't cover. I mean, the thickness of this book, Chris.
I ain't got that one yet.
Well, you could honestly, you could have picked about 1,000 things out of it to talk
never
about.
Mind the quality, feel the width. Huh?
Yeah. proper Ruddersfield saying that one. But the information in there, again, that is like an encyclopedia of 2020 to current date. That is that, isn't it?
That's pretty
and the history of years, really. It's 2020 and 21. Yeah, it's probably early 22, you know, so. So it just obviously developments since then are not in it, but, you know.
Yeah. It does cover other things, though, John, as well, like the history, you know, like Event 201, Bill Gates, all these things. It does cover history on these people as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's amazing how much of a crossover a lot of these things I'm finding with my own research where, and I'm going to play that probably in the second part, but the video where Schwab's talking at Harvard, where he says, we've infiltrated the governments of the world. I don't know if you've seen that. I'm going to play it anyway. We'll comment on it. But the guy that's interviewing him, he is part of, you know, he was part of Cladex. He was part of Dark Winter. He was part of a lot of these simulation events that went on. And so this is, all these people are all intertwined. You know, he works for Aspen Institute. I'll come on to that anyway. But yeah. So I thought about doing some of these predictive programming films, which were quite interesting because Chris is into his films, you see.
All right.
And well, somebody playing the trumpet in background there, John.
Yeah, no, somebody just blowing the nose in the background. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Thought he had a big trumpet, you know.
Yeah. The orchestra's just tuning in.
He must have nostril size of Christians.
Size of yours.
So yeah, so some of these, I mean, I've talked about Contagion, and the reason that we've mentioned it a lot because it's quite an obvious one to talk about. However, it's more when you dig behind it that intrigues me on who's funding these films, who, not just who the actors are, but the company that funded it was a company called Participant. That was the production company. And Participant is owned by a guy called Jeffrey Skoll. Not Skoll. And he was one of the founders of eBay. And the founder of eBay, Pierre Omidyar, he was a young global leader for the World Economic Forum in 1999. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of these films are, Contagion used all the language that was used in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, you know, obviously you've got the book and you've seen, you know, that was only just scratching the surface. These were just the main ones that we covered in there. But there are dozens in the book, and there were dozens more that were left out. It's just absolutely rife with, again, programming of the mind of the masses, you know. That's what these films are for. They're to acclimatize people and attune people into their way of thinking. So that when, what they do is, it's called predictive programming, as most people know, or revelation of the method, you know, that there's kind of a crossover between those two terms. But yeah, so what they're doing is they're actually preparing our minds for what they know is coming along. So they will show us a film like Contagion, for like that you mentioned, or there's lots more as well, where they actually create this scenario that they know is going to happen in the future, and then then when it happens, we've kind of become attuned mentally to it, and they know this. I mean, these people are masters of the human psyche. You know, they know exactly, you know, which buttons to push, which levers to pull.
What I remember, John, and the reason I remembered it was in the middle of the nonsense. I think my mate came around, he had a map, and he was believing all the nonsense. And he had a map, I don't know where he downloaded it from. And it showed, like, little roots of where it had spread, you know, like, going across this, like, black map with, like, red dots on it. Yeah, and he's like, look, it's going everywhere. I'm like, mate, that's bullshit. And it made me remember Planet of the Apes, that came out, and I think it came out in 2000. Do you remember? Because it came out the same year as Contagion, I think. And in that, the last bit of that film is this disease gets given to this pilot, and then it shows him going around the world spreading it.
Yeah.
And it looked just like this map that he'd got on there. And I think, if I remember rightly, it came out in 2009, 11 years before the nonsense, didn't it? If I remember.
What did that?
There was a bit of numerology involved. I think it came out in 2009. 11.
Which film
years.
Are you talking about, Chris? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Contagion. Oh,
the original Planet of the Apes came out in like 96.
No, they did a remake, John.
Yeah, I've not seen that. So
it's
yeah.
pretty good actually, but that were doing the same thing as Contagion, just on a more pulpy, you know, obviously action based. Right. What year did it come out though?
Well, I don't know what year that came out, but Contagion were out about 2011.
They both came out 2011 because it were nine years before the nonsense.
You do find a lot of numerology attached to a lot of this stuff as well, which is a bit strange. I mean, I weren't necessarily into numerology. Chris were into it a bit more than me. Yeah. But the more you looked at it, the more obvious that these numbers popped out
in there
as well.
Absolutely. And, my co-author on this book, because, you know, just for the people out there who are not aware, it wasn't my sole work, this book. It was a joint effort with my friend Shannon, who's also been on the show, hasn't she?
But, yeah, she has, yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love her back on as well, you two, in the new year, both of you.
Yeah, definitely.
We had a good chat there.
I did tell her I was on today. But she couldn't have made it anyway, even if she'd been asked, but she couldn't have made it because she's got other stuff on today. But and she's well into numerology. It was her that actually got me into numerology because some of the stuff, you know, that she comes out with on numerology, it's just mind blowing. You know, I can't say I'm 100% convinced about it, you know, right through, but there's certainly stuff in it that it just makes you think it's not a coincidence. That can't be a coincidence, you know. Mm. But I'm not an expert on it. So, you know, there's so much of it around. And they use it in the films as well. Mm. You know, I'm just looking down the list of films now just to refresh my memory.
One of the series that I got into about just under 10 years ago was Utopia, the British version, not the American version. And I was saying to my wife at that particular time, they're setting us up for something here when you watch that. Because it didn't just have that in. It had a lunatic trying to find this woman, this like hitman, who'd been MK Ultra'd from being a young kid.
Right.
And he actually he did like a dumb blame in a school.
Yeah, he did,
It was pretty horrific, yeah. And so they're setting up certain things in people's psyche just to press that button. Just to be normalized.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you were talking earlier, Chris, about, I'm kind of getting off the topic slightly here, but you were talking earlier about how they faked the spread around the world. You know, again, it was all propaganda. It was, you know, this is how it's happened. But I go into that in massive detail in the book about there was something called the Wuhan Games. Right, which some people may have been aware of at the time. Well, the Wuhan Games were the World Military Games, and it was like, in effect, it's like the Olympics for athletes from all the militaries around the world. And there's about 9,000 athletes descended on Wuhan, which is obviously the epicenter of it, at exactly the same time that it all happened.
Right.
And this is how they tell us it spread around the world, because all these athletes got ill. And then they all flew back home to their respective countries. And before we knew where we were, it had spread around the whole world, you know.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously.
But that was that map, I think, John, I'm talking about. And it showed it like this little hot spot. Then it went, and that's exactly what happened in Planet of the Apes. The little hot spots that then it showed.
And they also use that, Chris, as an excuse for shutting down international travel as well. Yeah, see what happens, you know, when you, we can't have this, you know. So
they even used the terminology, I think, in all of it, the real ones and the fake ones, was the patient zero. Got to find patient zero, and then we can. But I mean, when you put any logic to it, it doesn't make any sense. There's no fact. What difference does it make finding that? But I mean, I remember there was one article I read it somewhere, and it was some woman in Korea who went to she got tested positive and got told not to go out, and she went to a local church and killed 200 people. You're like, no, she didn't. That's bollocks. It's just that little article like that, and then it's flown away and it's gone. And I mean, that'd have a movie made out of it, wouldn't it?
They love their little catchphrases like patient zero. It doesn't actually mean anything. What the hell
mean anything?
Patient zero means nothing. But they love the little catchphrases.
Yeah.
They want hooks. yeah. hook you into their different ploys that they're using to propagandize us. You know, and Patient Zero's got a really nice ring to it, hasn't it? It's like, it's a form of hypnosis in a way.
Yeah.
You know, they're using words as triggers to trigger certain emotions, and they pre-program it, if you like, to be receptive to those words and phrases that they use. I mean, it was rife, wasn't it, when they showed the there used to be the Johnson and Valance and
Hancock.
Hancock stood up there and a few others with the three podiums and the colours the words on the podium. It's all a form of hypnosis.
Massive. I mean, just repeating it over and over again. Yeah. Keep your distance, patient zero, all there flat on the curve. Do you remember just repeat it over and over again, hypnotizing
everyone? Absolutely, it's propaganda and it's like I say, hypnosis. Yeah, absolutely. And they're brilliant at it. You've got to give them the due. They are brilliant at it.
I mean, that was an obvious TV studio. Everyone thought that were Number 10 Downing Street.
Did they?
You know, it's like Biden, where Biden talks when he comes on. You know, that's they've admitted that cost £10 million, that studio, even in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So going back to your, I'm a knobhead, get me out of here. Well, if they're not talking in the White House, right, and Zelensky's on a green screen, and... Well, I'm a knobhead, get me out of here. In the middle of Australian jungle, is it?
No. Why would we like Johnson? You wouldn't take that risk, would you? That insurance, financial risk.
No. New York, that ringing you about your shares. That.
Yeah.
buy, sell.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
All right. I mean, where were we then? I've lost my train of thought there. Anyway.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean,
green screens you're on about.
No, well, not just green screens, but the fact that these people stood up and weren't actually where everyone thought they were. I mean, everything that they did was just a massive lie. You know, we obviously know that, but everything, it were down to a T, weren't it? That every single thing that they said, sorry, I'm going to say virus, it won't be going on YouTube anyway now, I don't think, but the virus, I mean, you don't need to do a lot of scratching under the surface to know that a virus ain't what we're told it is. I had an argument with somebody the other week about a virus. It was somebody doing comments, and I started putting some comments, and I thought, why am I bothering? Anyway, why are you still talking about viruses like they're real? And I'll say, well, one thing I will say is this. What if they're talking a different language? What if their meaning of virus is something totally different to what we have been told it is, i.e. 5G? Then 5G could look like it's spreading, or... putting more chlorine in the water could look like it's spreading, or chemtrail in an area.
It could be just the bullshit fire.
Exactly. Or the bullshit, the lies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be the virus. So the word virus has been used for a reason, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Possibly. I mean, obviously, these people know that there is no such thing as virus. It's not in the way that everyone assumes it to mean, to be, or what it's assumed to mean a virus. But yeah, you could be right about that. But I just, is it worth just clarifying what viruses really are, what they really aren't? They really aren't.
Yeah, that's more like it, yeah.
Yeah, well, they really aren't microbes, just for anyone out there who's in any doubt about it whatsoever.
And they're not alive.
New to this idea. Viruses do not exist in the way that they tell us they exist. Yeah. Viruses are... What we believe is a virus is our body. If we get a cold or flu, which are the most common viruses, obviously, if we get a cold or a flu, we assume that we've got this virus called a cold or a flu. Well, first of all, it's worth saying that until about 1880, flu did not exist. Okay, I'll come back to that point in a minute. But flu did not exist. Right. Virus, the symptoms of a virus where we get the runny nose, the stuffed up feeling, the lethargy and all the
chills
rest of it.
And all of the stuff, yeah.
It's our body detoxifying. That's all it is. So what happens is we maybe go to a house where somebody's and their family is suffering from flu. And then a couple of days later, we come down with the same thing. Right. They've not passed any old virus onto us. That's not how it works. What they've done. What's happened is their environment has become toxic. either chemically or electrically. More often than not, electrically. And this is where you were mentioning 5G, Don. Yep. More often than not, electrically. And it's that resistance to that electrical pollution that causes our bodies to behave as though we've got this cold and flu viruses. That's all it is. Now, somebody once, that explains half of it, but somebody once said to me, well, what about if you're at home and then somebody with the flu comes to your home and then you get the flu? Well, right, that's because there's something called bioresonance, right? And it's all connected. It's like the second half of the story, if you like. Now, what bioresonance is, it's an accepted phenomenon amongst a lot of scientists and a lot of doctors, but not by the mainstream, obviously, because it doesn't suit their agenda. But right. What it is, it allows, if you are suffering from something, whatever toxicity it may be, if you are suffering from it and you are near to someone else, something happens and it will pass on to other people. It doesn't always, but sometimes it will. It's kind of similar but different to the way that, and this is an accepted phenomenon, women who live under the same roof, their menstrual cycles align.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
I was just
it's exactly
say that.
The same
yeah.
phenomenon as that.
Yeah.
But different, obviously.
Yeah. But I think we talked to Matt Bajeski about it, didn't we? Like you're in their aura, so somehow you pick up that energy field. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Matt was saying, because when we asked him about that, the period thing, because I've always thought that was weird. I said to him, Mrs. loads of times, why is that not brought up on national news? Because it's one of the weirdest things ever. Why is it not discussed more openly?
Yeah, you're right. It isn't discussed, but I think it's more acceptable than what...
It's accepted. Saying. Everyone knows it's a fact, but no one ever talks about it and says, but isn't
it's
that
too esoteric,
weird?
Chris. It's too esoteric.
Because no one can explain it.
Well,
we live in a world, Fatty, where no one can even explain why you go to sleep.
Well, I think they can explain it. They just don't want to, because that opens up doors that they don't actually want to enter. Because then you're talking about energy fields making a difference. And then you can get into two ways. You can get into the positive side of energy fields making a difference, or you get into the negative sides of the electrical currents we're surrounded with and EMFs.
I've brought that question up numerous times with numerous people, and no one can give you an answer. Like I said, no one can even tell you why you go to sleep. Oh, it's to rest. Well, why can't you just lie down?
We've got a video on Sheep Farm 2. With a professor, I forget which, he's an American guy, and they ask him, are viruses alive or living? And he spends about 6 minutes telling you why they possibly are alive.
Right.
Without actually saying they're alive. Right. And he says, that depends what you mean by alive. That's his first statement. Yeah.
It should work for NASA.
Exactly. That's it should work for NASA. But what he's getting at is that in the future, we might change what living or alive means. So what isn't alive now could be alive then if they rebrand.
Then that's just semantics, isn't it? It's just changing the meaning of words. It's not changing science or or discovering anything new. It's just changing the meaning of words, isn't it?
Just like saying a man's a woman with bolt-on baps.
Yeah.
But it's funny because even going back years, I always remember saying, because I used to get a bit of a cold like once a year, maybe around Christmas time. And I've always said, it's amazing how good it's worth getting ill because you feel so good afterwards.
And it's a download, like, isn't it?
Yeah. Detox, isn't it?
Yeah,
all that crap's coming out. That's why kids get it all the time, isn't it? Because they're changing all the time. And
well,
they're getting
the
dead cells, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, chicken pox could be a shedding, like a snake does. And like shedding of your old cells.
They're growing
so
quick. So they've always got a snotty nose, aren't they? So because they're just getting rid of all their old cells, I suppose.
But the virus thing, I, there's another conversation about that as well, isn't there, John? That people say, well, bacteria can't harm you and all this. But this is what my view of this is. With somebody who's got supposed Lyme disease, if they'd reduce your immune system, things that didn't normally affect you, parasites, bacteria, forget viruses, that's a total different conversation. They can, or possibly cause a problem that we wouldn't know. Or if they're put in the wrong place, let's just say a door opens and they're allowed in a certain area that they're not normally allowed in your body. Or if they're growth modified, or if they're bioweaponized. That's two, they're different things. If they're bioweaponized, then they're meant to do something bad to you.
Yes, definitely.
All bets are off then.
Yeah. You know, just going back to what you said about 5G right at the beginning of this segment that we're talking about now. I mean, again, it's all covered in the book, but there's no doubt about it that there is definitely a connection between 5G and what was going round 2 years ago. Yes. Absolutely no question about it. Mm. And you can tell that that's the truth. One simple thing, anybody who ever mentioned that connection got banned off all social media.
Yes.
You know, that wasn't the truth, why would they do that?
Just laugh at them. Yeah. Just laugh at them.
Well, that were ruled out with David Icke ruled out, banned. That were more or less month one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On London radio, were it?
But I watched that interview and they totally misquoted him because they said he was saying that 5G was causing it, and he never said that.
Right.
He said misquoted someone.
When it links to the future jibby jab, then it'll be an issue. That's what he was kind of saying, I think. If I remember right, I might have that right, totally right. But I got sick, John. I got ill for about 2 weeks, and I felt like I'd been poisoned.
Yeah, I did.
Horrible. Did you get it as well?
I remember both of getting.
Not in 2020, last year.
Last Christmas it was, I got it. It was last Christmas because I'd lost my sense of smell last Christmas.
Well, you remember
July 2021, I was in bed for a week. I couldn't get out.
Remember when the new variants came out, and they were all, when they were switching on and turning on new cells and stuff like that. In fact, where my in-laws live, they live just about 2 miles down the road. They put a new mast up, sort of like at 2 or 3 fields away from their house. Within a week, they both went down with it. And so did my father-in-law's sister, who lives about 10 doors down. So I don't know what the other people did in that area, but, you know, 4 out of 4 is enough for me to say they've just turned that 5G mast on and 4 people have got ill.
I mean, it's not just 5G. I mean, 5G is obviously the worst culprit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the strongest signal of all. But, you know, people who live near electricity pylons have been complaining of cancer and all sorts of stuff for years.
For years.
And, you know, of course, they put out these papers, these scientific papers that prove that there is no harmful effects. But it's just lies.
It's strange how they always prove there's no harmful effect, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
It's weird, that. Must be a coincidence. They never come out and say that pylons are bad for you, or, you know.
No, they wouldn't, would they?
No.
You know, why would you do that? You're destroying your own. You're destroying your own agenda, aren't you?
Yeah, but how much easier is it when you toxify a nation, fry them with 3G, 4G, 5G, slowly but surely get them up to that lobotomization stage, then flick that other switch that says, right, there's a virus going around.
And spray loads of shit on fire, don't forget.
Well, I mean, I think the spraying's got to be used for the conductivity, personally.
Yeah, that's what I believe too, Dom. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what it's been all about all these years, you know, because they've known exactly what the agenda's been for 20 years or whatever. I think, when did it start? It was about mid-90s, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, well, heavy spraying.
But it's ramped up the last year or two. Because, I mean, I was saying to Dom over there, John, I went up to Huddersfield, and obviously, because I grew up there, it were dramatic how much the sky looked different, if you know what I mean? Because it's harder to spot down here, because I wasn't born here, but I was, you know, lived up there my entire life. Mm. And just looking at the sky, I couldn't believe it. I was like, bloody hell. It's totally changed. It didn't look anything. I went around the moors and stuff like that to the missing Camden Dam.
Yeah,
and I was like, I can't believe it. We're just zigzagging the sky. I thought this did not exist.
Some plane notes and crosses, didn't it? Some days,
yeah,
it does. And some of them planes that go over look like those, you know, those trick planes that fire smoke out of the back. That's how obvious it is. It just looks like that.
I've seen some turning it on and off, like stopping, turning it on. And one of the weirdest things I saw was, you know that vapor that's left there, and it's like a thick, and it didn't move; it just hangs there.
Yeah.
I saw a plane go through it, and it left a hole through it. It literally parted it like a wave, and left. Yeah. You could see where it had driven, like flown through the supposed cloud.
Well, you know the bad when my young'un, who's just been here behind me, he's taking pictures of them.
Right.
He said they don't even look like clouds. And
what they do, they spread out over the period of the day.
Yeah.
So they start off, you know, they're just a normal sort of thickness, and then bit by bit by bit by bit, they go like that, and then eventually the sky is just a grey blob.
Yeah, yeah, like
you
a blanket.
Can't see any blue sky at all? It's a blanket.
Someone on Sheep Farm, they emailed me quite a few pictures that they'd taken, and I was saying the same back to them. Was it's like a blanket. And I've even seen that blanket, and then I've seen clouds in front of it, probably real clouds, like moving. And that's just sat there.
Yeah.
Real clouds? What are they?
Yeah. Well, like little white wispy ones, and they're blowing in the wind like clouds used to do in the old days. Yeah. And that mass is just solid. It's just solid there, just hanging right there. And they're just they're going by like normal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it makes you think, I mean, I'm talking crazy. Are they hiding something behind that thing? And then also you think,
yeah, it's called if
they do that in the daytime, right? How many are they spraying at nighttime when you can't see them?
Yeah.
If you've seen them in broad daylight, what's happening at nighttime?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know I'm a paranoid nutter, but
another phenomenon I've noticed with the spraying when you see the planes or the aftermath of the planes going past, I've seen them do a full U-turn. You know, so you've got a chemtrail that's like that. Sorry,
come back on itself. Yeah, come back.
I've seen one of them.
I mean, what plane does that? What plane ever
goes backward?
No, there's definitely. I think there's certainly some civilian planes just spraying out, and the captains probably don't even know they're doing it. And there's certainly some military type planes doing it. Yeah. To get that much coverage, there's got to be some sort of collaboration between military and commercial.
Definitely. Because
it just covers the sky.
Yeah,
and also it can be like a road in the sky. You can see just a strip. It's blue at each side, clear, and then a massive mile-wide, two-mile-wide, whatever strip, like, just like going for miles.
It goes forward, and then it slowly pans out and just stays there, doesn't it? Stays solid.
Just sits there. But all that obviously is dropping down on an unsuspecting population of pot and bang bangers on the doorstep.
It's that dust storm from the Sahara. That's where
That red storm.
All that red dust landed on my car.
But I mean, and we are jumping around a lot here, but if you add that into the mix of the jab damages and the brain damage that this is causing, because I'm noticing people driving around can't drive like they used to do. The odd decisions, people are angrier, they're getting angry as well.
There's a lot of that,
Anger. Also, when you just small jobs, like we ordered something for the clinic, and we got told that we're going to be here in 2 weeks, which there's no stress. Mm. But nobody rang us up to tell us it wasn't in, and just daft little things. And then when you ring up, it's like they're doing you a favor, and it's like, where's it? Hang on a minute, and just
customer service has just gone completely gone now. There is no customer service or any description whatsoever.
No,
you know that they organize their companies in such a way that you make it very, very difficult for you to phone them. They want you to email them. They want you to. They direct you to websites all the time. They just don't want to deal with people because
they don't want people.
They don't want people.
That is the way it's going. And even that little chat box at the side, that used to be a person. Now it's just an automated reply in it.
Yeah.
Designed to stress you out as well, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's two things I want to get through in this first hour. I know we're going to talk about other stuff, probably go on tangents, too much information. But sudden deaths is one. I don't know if you watched that film by Stu Peters.
I did.
What were your thoughts?
Died suddenly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Stu Peters fan. I mean, I think he's an enemy.
Right. Yeah, really? In what way do you think?
I've seen lots of people who know about these things talking about him, giving his background. I can't remember what it was now, but his background is not very savoury, to be honest.
Right.
And I mean, he just came out with a lot of good information, but this is what these people do. That's what propaganda's all about, isn't it? It's 90%, it's like rat poison. It's like 95% good and wholesome food, but it's the 5% that's hidden within it that kills you.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because we discuss, it's difficult as well because, how can I say, from who we are and people listening to this, we always say, well, none of these mainstreamers are talking about it. As soon as somebody does, everyone goes, they're a shill, you know? And so it is rather difficult. I'm not saying a lot of them are, but some of them probably aren't, because to wake up, as we know, you can't control that. It's like being born. You can't control that.
And it did cross my mind today, though, and I thought, as that film, because I keep looking at the comments about it and fact checkers about it and stuff like that, whether it's all to do with him or not, but has it been let to do what it's doing right, regardless of whether it's real or whatever it is, has it been let to do what it's doing on purpose for some other reason that I can't even imagine?
What specifically do you mean? What?
Well, I mean that film is a little thing that's been put out there and into the
The revelation of method type thing.
Yeah, has it been put out there to reveal it or to it's been put there? It's been let happen to do something, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah. Well, what do you think they could have done differently, Chris? What do you think they could have?
No, what I mean is, John, has it been let to be put out? Say that guy's made that film, and regardless of who he is or whatever.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
Has it been let to become this creature that it has on purpose for some reason? I don't know what the reason is. Is it to get?
Well, I mean, let's face it, right? There's
10 million people have watched it apparently. So yeah.
But as soon as 10 million, Chris? Who's watching?
I don't know.
Sadly, we're selling to the converted, aren't we?
Well, there is one point that they Twitter, whatever, opened up and it was put on there, right? And it just happened to open up just before that got put on there, I believe, when Elon Musk bought it or whatever bullshit's going on nowadays. I've never been on Twitter. I don't even know what it looks like. But it opened up and then that film came out and it was on there and 10 million people watched it.
Yeah, but I've got
where else could they have watched it?
Yeah, but there are some people on there, right, that we'll say we wanted to say more, but we couldn't, or whatever it was. So there is a way of controlling.
I think a lot of those people are genuine. They're genuine.
I'm not saying they're not genuine. I'm saying it's the controlling the narrative, maybe. That's the way they could do.
So are you trying to say here that you feel that it might be the effects? I mean, because they looked horrific. That stuff that they were drawing out of those alleged dead people's veins. I mean, it was horrendous, wasn't it? I mean, they looked like tapeworms. I mean... Yeah. Are you actually saying that you think there's a possibility that might have been wildly exaggerated? You know,
I mean,
can I give you some information here? My mate's an embalmer,
right,
and he's finding stuff like this,
right.
So he wants me to go down and witness it.
Well, you should do.
Thanks. it's right at the top of my agenda there with jumping off.
Yeah. Little Sunday afternoon outfit.
Yeah, Empire State Building on a bungee. Yeah, it's right up there.
Yeah, but you've got to see it though. If he's giving you that opportunity,
I know. But
I'll go with you.
Anyway, so there is something strange happening because he was saying that a lot of these people that are coming in have major vascular problems, even if they haven't died of cardiovascular issues. There's major vascular issues inside them. So, are they as bad as that? Who knows? I mean, it was a film. I don't know Stu Peters. I don't know who he is. He might be genuine. He might not be. I don't. To be honest with you, I only know what we do is genuine. I know what John does is genuine.
Like John said, that makes sense. 95% good stuff, 5% poison.
Yes.
I mean, because even in that film, which I thought was, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, but even the ones of people falling over, though, was it necessary to put them in there? Because they could be falling over of anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he could critique everything, can't he? I'm sure people critique what we do. So
absolutely.
And the issue is that they made that film that way. And
it's well done. It's put together nice, concise.
One question is, are sudden deaths happening more than they were happening in 2019, in 2020?
That is the point.
Excess deaths are up in the well into double figures.
Yeah, and that's just what they're telling us this. So, I mean, let's face it, can we trust the ONS figures? I looked at the ONS the other day, and they're up something like 1,500 a week, you know? And we know that they're a set of lying bastards, and that's just in England and Wales. ONS only covers England and Wales, and Scotland and Ireland.
But that video that Kirk sent us yesterday, where he's a woman talking about the child mortality, fetal deaths.
Yeah.
She said it's up from 2 a month. I don't know where she was. Was that one hospital? 2 a month to 22 a month?
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrific.
Yeah. When I was talking about double figures of excess deaths, I meant percentage as well, by the way. You know,
Not
in actual real terms, obviously. Yeah. But,
well, it's more than double figures.
Yeah. But someone sent me a stat a few weeks ago. Well, it's probably a few months ago now, but back in the summer. And it basically said that if it was somebody who had analysed the ONS figures, you know, in the National Statistic Database, and this guy's a statistician that's done it, you know, so he knows what he's doing. And hidden within those figures he reckons that one in 73 people who've had the jibby jab are now dead already.
One in 73.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite staggering, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think staggering is an appropriate word, because I think the deaths have been staggered as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're not killing everybody all at once. It'd be too obvious if that
happened. No, yeah. And also, I haven't witnessed anything specific, but, more fucker dying than in your area.
In your immediate circle now, as you know, with me, I've heard three or four people in the last, either having health issues, major health issues, or passing away.
Regardless, fire, if you don't mind me mentioning, Dom's known someone die and someone have gone to hospital in the last 2 days. And you can't pinpoint it to that at all. But yeah. When did you last know that happened?
Yeah, I got a personal experience of that. I found out last weekend. My brother actually died in January last year. And I found out that just this last couple of weeks that he died 2 weeks after he'd had the jab. He'd had the jab, one of the first in the country, because he was regarded as being vulnerable, right? Hell. So he died 2 weeks afterwards, which it shocked me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I know someone who had a quadruple heart bypass. I don't know, he's had every single one, and probably Kung Flu as well as Deja Flu, and one in each arm. So, but they are having all these things, and he's ended up having to have a quadruple heart bypass. I didn't even text him to see how he was, and he never answered. I thought, fucking hell, seven days or whatever went by. Anyway, he texts me, says, I've just got out of ICU, or we're in ICU, because my lungs collapsed after the operation. And his wife's a doctor.
Yeah. Another example, a friend of a friend, youngish woman, 30s. She was involved in a car crash a few weeks ago, rushed her into hospital. And when she was in hospital, obviously being treated for her crash injuries, they found that she'd got a massive blood clot in her leg. And they said, if you'd not had the accident, you'd be dead now, because it would have traveled up to your heart and killed you.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And so the
young people are dying like flies. It's never been heard of. But nobody talks about it. You know, the media don't talk about it. They mention it, but they never say, oh, I wonder what's causing this. Or, they just say, they're normalizing this cardiac arrest business. Yeah. And they're normalizing, myocarditis.
Well, my mate who's an embalmer said people are dying in the 30s, 40s, whatever. Yeah. And they're putting down death cause, natural causes.
Right.
Yeah. Natural causes? In the 40s?
Mm. I mean, just the way around to where it was 2 years ago, isn't it? People were dying of natural causes and they were going down this clock.
Yeah, you're going down this 91 Divock. I mean, the only reason is why they're getting away with this is because, when somebody's ill, it's that immediate family unit that deal with it.
Yes.
They don't look around. And they keep it within. And so nobody talks about it. And obviously death or injury or whatever is a taboo subject for a lot of people to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's why it's never discussed, because they've made this thing taboo to discuss. Yeah. And, the sudden deaths, let's face it, started as soon as the jabs were rolled out in...
Your experience with your
brother.
Want a sentence on your lips, was it? Want a sentence that you knew?
No. This is a phenomenon that's come about since then, hasn't it?
I've Googled it over the last couple of weeks, and you can put in today, and numerous, at least two or three or four come up, of people in the young people, 30s, 40s, 50s. Mm. Just, it'll be someone famous in Australia or someone famous. Do you know what I mean? That didn't happen.
Well, how many stars when I say stars, famous people like Shane Warne and people like this, I'm not saying he looked after himself, but he was an ex-professional athlete, These people aren't, they're not your average.
Fitter than me.
Well, did you hear the story about Shane Warne? What happened?
I know we're in Thailand, weren't
he? So, yeah, he went to, he went, are on holiday to Thailand with his mate, the also ex-cricketer Rodney Marsh.
Rod Marsh, yeah. Yeah, he passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, they both died on the same day, and they were both forced to take the vax before they could enter Thailand. And they both died on the same day in Thailand. But the media never covered Rodney Marsh. Because obviously, it'd be too obvious, wouldn't it?
Just a bit, yeah.
Did you know that, though? I didn't know
I knew Rodney Marsh died.
No, I didn't know they both died at the same day. I don't know cricket, so I don't know who they are.
They released it like Rodney Marsh had died before Shane Warne, like a week before or whatever.
But even if they're on the same holiday.
It was like a question
what they'd eaten. They went
together and they had to have the vax before they would be allowed into the country. So, and then two days later, they were both dead. I think Marsh died first.
Yeah, Marsh did die.
3 hours later, Warne died.
Fuck me.
Because Warne sent out a message, didn't he, to his mate who died. Or there was some that went out about Rodney Marsh. I mean, these two aren't... You're not talking just a normal league cricketers here. These two are Australian or cricket world superstars, you know?
Veterans, yeah.
Yeah, just
I don't know anything about cricket, but I remember you
about... I tune into some of these flight monitoring companies on YouTube, and they pop up on YouTube just to get my mind off something else. And one of them popped up, and it said American Airlines makes takeoff and land immediate landing after takeoff after pilot goes into cardiac arrest. I thought, oh, I'm going to have a look this, and it showed the path of it. Doesn't show the plane; it shows like a graph of the traffic controllers see, and it showed the plane and the pilot who were flying it talking. Right, so the pilot's talking as he's taking off, and then you just hear him go like that, and the co-pilot comes on, whether it's a co-pilot's gone or the pilot, I can't remember, but the other pilot comes on and says, we're going to have to make an emergency landing because the pilot's just passed out.
Right.
Anyway, they got him back round and were brown bread. So I did a bit more digging, and it's happening hell of a lot, is this. With pilots. And there were a flight attendant this week that keeled over and were dead on arrival.
Yeah.
I don't like flying anyway. I'm not fucking flying ever again. That's it.
I subscribe to the VARS report, the American...
Right, okay. I used to do that, but it just got a bit depressing.
Yeah, it is depressing. And the last figure I got, I think, was 17,000 confirmed dead, and they reckon it's only 1%. They reckon, so it's 1.7 million, in other words.
But according to James O'Brien, Jeremy Vine, that's not a real report, VARS and yellow card system, because it's a voluntary report, that.
Forget Jeremy.
Well, that makes it worse, doesn't it? If it's voluntary,
Jeremy Vine, that was on BBC Fact Checkers last year, I remember. And they said, don't take any notice of the yellow card system.
Yeah.
Even though it was implemented by the government, don't take any notice of it.
So the only thing we've got to use, we can't take notice of.
Well, he's just a puppet, isn't he, Vine? He's just a puppet tool of the bloody powers that be, isn't he? Or the powers that
all of them. And we just did a podcast on some of these people and who backs some of these stations. It was quite interesting to see, actually. And we played some of the old snippets from 2020. Now you've got that 2020 vision type of thing. You can actually play some of these things and listen to what these people are saying. And realize, like Christian said, when he draws them pictures and puts them quotes at the side of them. But one of the main protagonists, and we'll finish off by talking about this guy for 5 or 10 minutes, Bill Gates. And I know everybody's spoken about him, but you've got a section in your book there about him being arrested at one point.
Yes.
And Alan had to bail him out, his business partner. Both of those two were young global leaders. I don't know if you knew
that. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. They were young global leaders, 93, 94, or whatever it were. And they were also, when they bought, who did they buy? They bought another one, Skype. The guy from Skype was a young global leader as well. He was.
What did he get arrested for?
Drink driving.
All right.
He got off.
Bill Gates did. Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you surprised?
Well, I just didn't expect that. You have to be. I just thought, I'm not surprised.
No. Have you ever watched that thing where he's in, I know you will, John, but when he's in like a courtroom, he's having to answer questions from that Senate committee.
Yeah, it's all a different vision of him, don't it? He's just like a smug, arrogant prick.
There were times, though, he were rocking in his chair. He looked like Raymond Babbitt. I don't know if you've seen
it. No, but I mean, he had a dark aura around him, not like when you see him on, doing all these... Yeah. He had a definite darkness to him, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, he's the messenger.
Like an untouchable aura he was giving off, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely the messenger of death, isn't he? He's the one that's not necessarily running the show, but he's certainly one of those that are orchestrating certain elements of it, and he's been allowed a free rein.
Hmm. Well, Gates, you know, they sell this idea of him being this self-made software genius, you know, this brilliant guy who I mean, his father was a multimillionaire to start with, you know, it was family money, you know, he didn't build up this multi-billion dollar company from scratch like they make out, you know. Whoa, what a brilliant guy, what a wonderful.
No, he did. He joined it in his garage.
Yeah.
Have you not read anything about Bill Gates?
I mean, he was born into money, and not only that, the Bill Gates' father was one of the founder members of the American Eugenics, you know, society. So, you know, what does that tell you about
that fact alone should make someone's ears prick up? Exactly. But you tell people that, and they just go, yeah, but what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. His mother, ironically,
definitely not take one of his jibby jabs that he's telling me to have.
His mother was she was called Maxwell, and her father was a director of the New York. I might have got this wrong. Not New York, one of the Federal Reserve branches, state branches. Right. So he was part of the Federal Reserve, and as soon as you see his dad's a eugenicist. His mother controls, or father controls, Federal Reserve. She were also part of IBM. And that Bill Gates got the deal, didn't he, through IBM? Absolutely. And that is how it was set up. Microsoft was set up like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Through IBM.
Did IBM have a garage next door to his? They just like...
it were a double garage, Chris.
Double garage. Steve Jobs at one side, IBM at other.
They got all old Castrol GTX tins out and paint cans and stuff and started making computers. Mm. But right, okay, we've come to end at first hour. Thanks for joining us. I know we're doing an hour already, probably over an hour actually, about an hour and 10 minutes to be exact.
I was obsessed with the time out of that.
Well, no, I know what we're like, we get carried away. I wanted to talk about jab ingredients and stuff like that as well.
Right.
But I suppose we hit on that a little bit with sudden deaths, but there's only so much you can cover in 2 hours, isn't there? And I've got quite a lot lined up for the second part. So thanks for joining us. If you join us after the second part, we're going to have a bit of a breather now, and then we'll come back and record that. See you soon. Bye.
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 You can't help but feel ridiculous every time you do that.
No, you can't help but feel childish when you do that, no. I've got Christian doing it, though. He sounds good now. He was right high-pitched before. Young before my life.